Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, September 18th, right at noon Central Time with myself and Carl. How are you?
I'm doing just swell today, Scott. Yourself?
I'm doing great. So we obviously have a lot of things to talk about today, some big things to talk about. So let's just jump right in. Since last week, we have the major indices with the S&P up 1%, Dow up a third of a percent, NASDAQ up 2.2, and the Russell up 1.5. So we've seen a good 5-day performance. A lot of that was, in contribution from the Fed and what they did, but we're going to talk about that in just a second. I wanted to cover an interesting stat that goes back to 1994. And there's only been 8 occurrences where the Fed has cut rates when the S&P is within a 52-week high. And all 8 of those times, so 100% of the time, the S&P ended up on average 14.5% 1 year later. So that would be September to September. And that's a pretty powerful stat. Now, we've talked about in the last couple of podcasts the idea of seeing an average 6% into the end of the year for the S&P. It'll be interesting to see how that sort of intermingles with the stat we just talked about of 14.5 going into next September. I do think that there will be some continue to be other stats that might point towards even more strength, and we've talked about those in the last couple of months. But I just found that to be interesting because it's related to rate cuts. Now, speaking of rate cuts, that would be a good opportunity for us to jump over into Carl's corner to talk about what we saw out of the Fed yesterday.
Well, the probabilities were accurate this time around. I know earlier this year there was a lot of good chances of rate cuts that never came to fruition. But yesterday they did. We have a 25 basis point cut out of the Fed. And so that's one of the reasons why, as Scott was mentioning, we had a good week, is when there's a rate cut coming, normally the week ahead of it is really good for the market. In this case, 1% and 2.2 for the NASDAQ. And so what does this mean? Does that mean every meeting from here on out will have a rate cut? Well, the probabilities are the fact that there could be 2 more rate cuts this year, including an 80% chance of it to go down 2 more times, and each one being a 25 basis point rate cut. Now, what the Fed is going to have to figure out is, did they finally get inflation to where they want it to be? Did they finally get all the numbers they want to where they can now consistently cut? Or was this one that, kind of test the waters, cut 25 basis points, skip October, maybe do a 25 in December? And we'll really be able to figure that out, because when Powell came out, he did the classic Jerome Powell. He talked out of both sides of his mouth. He was, yes, this is good because of this. No, this is also bad because of this. We're not certain going forward. And so that, I think, led to some of the disparity in the probabilities going forward. However, 2 great cuts the rest of this year is very much on the table. I'm thinking it's going to be 1. I think they're going to skip October. I'd love to be wrong, but I think they're going to skip October and then do 1 in December, because of inflation is still at about 2.7 and they wanted to get to 2. So what are your thoughts on the inflationary aspects of this, Scott?
Well, I think it's important, and they do emphasize that they are data dependent. I'm not 100% convinced of that they're strictly data dependent. I think there are some other factors that go into it. I could absolutely agree with the idea of 1 as opposed to 2. I don't think 2 would be the worst thing in the world, but I do think realistically expecting 1 more cut this year probably makes sense. But the thing that I think, I don't know if they're considering it or not, but they never verbalized it, I know that, is the problem with cutting too slowly is we are now 3 years into elevated inflation and elevated Fed fund rate and interest rates. And the problem with that is you have all this pent-up energy for spending, right? And we haven't seen a lot of spending or lending because of the elevated interest rates. And once these rates continue to come down, there's going to be a massive amount of spending. I mean, think about, I saw some stat, and I'm going to butcher it, but you'll get the gist of it. There was some stat that between the age group of like 20 and 45, something like that, over 60% of them live at home because they cannot afford a house. Well, wait until those lending rates come down and they can afford a house. Think about the massive amount of spending that will happen there, from a consumer discretionary standpoint, especially as we're moving into more of the holiday season. All that pent-up energy is going to get released. We've talked about the velocity of money, and all these things. And the criticism that you're going to hear is going to be that they shouldn't have cut rates because then there's been a resurgence in inflation. Well, my argument would be, while there could be an element of that, the bigger problem is you've caused people to wait to spend for far too long. And so I've always been a proponent of, remember, at one point they were supposed to start cutting back in March. And so the longer they prolong it, yes, that it will probably help in subduing volatility down to their target level. But the longer you wait for this, the more pent-up energy there's going to be for people to start spending in certain sectors. And that will be a battle that they're going to be faced with potentially if they don't get this right. And we talked about this, I don't know, back in December of last year, about how, in my opinion, how they messed it up on the way up with the rate hikes. They went too slowly. They could not afford to go too slowly or too quickly on the way down. And so it's just of my opinion that they've kind of put themselves in a box. They've waited so long that that there is going to be a release of capital spending here pretty shortly. And that's going to be a problem that they're going to be faced with. And in my opinion, what they can't do is start a series of rate cuts and then be forced to hike rates again. And so it'll be interesting to see how they handle this. But from a market standpoint, I was taught this a long, long time ago. In a rate increase environment or decrease environment, so in this case, decrease environment, everything else is noise. You just pay attention to interest rates in terms of market direction. And so the more they cut, the more positivity you should see in the markets. So the inflows will increase substantially into, different segments of the markets. And we've talked about those segments and we've rebalanced into those sectors, if you will. So it'll be interesting, but the rhetoric, as you mentioned, Carl, the rhetoric was two-sided, as it normally is. The important part, if you want to cover this, the important part, and we actually talked about this a few weeks ago. It wasn't so much, we knew they were going to cut rates. That was pretty much a done deal. We knew that he was going to come out in the post press conference and, tell two stories, which he did. And to give him some credit, he's good at that. And but what's most important is to see how many dissenters there were. Last meet, there was two. This time there was three with the new member coming in. And I don't want to say this wrong, but I believe I saw that half, maybe half the committee, I believe, were in favor of two rate cuts, I think is what it said. At least one rate cut, maybe it was two rate cuts. So you're seeing that shift in pro rate cuts that we really haven't seen. And I do believe, as we've talked about, there's a very important reason for that.
So to piggyback on the inflationary aspect that you were discussing, when you cut rates too fast and your inflation number isn't where it wants to go, so there's the two aspects, right? You have the spending that needs to get spent anyway, which is what you were referring to. And to me, as long as the rate stays in a relatively, at least above the inflation rate, right? So if inflation rate's 2.7, you can't be dipping under three on your interest rates, because then inflation is going to creep back up, not including all the purchasing.
Right.
And what Powell has done, and I'll give credit to Powell where it's due. He's done a great job of doing the soft landing, which I know we've discussed on here before, is not cutting too fast and then, having volatile swings and inflation this way, and then the market goes this way. And the soft landing is nice and easy, slowly on the way down, get inflation where you want it, and then you have a solid interest rate to inflation level, which is what all Fed chairmen try to get at, a solid interest rate to inflation level. And that's what he's been trying to do. And the outside and now inward pressure of this has gotten to the point where he may not be able to stop that. And the interest rates could just start coming down more quickly. And that's something we are keeping a heavy eye on, because if they do cut too quickly and the spending increases, the worst thing that happens is you go from a rate cut one day and then the next meeting you go to a rate hike because of inflation. That is not something we want to see. I would much rather see 1,000 paper cuts than three stabs to the bottom to have inflation come back up,
Yeah,
And
I
that's really what I'm afraid of when it comes to these dissenters. It's really starting to crank down on wanting interest rate cuts. And then we have next year, which I believe is in May, when Powell will be removed as Fed chair, his term limit will be up. And then we just start seeing massive rate cuts, and it'll be good to start, and it probably could turn right afterwards.
Which, and I agree with what you're saying, and the reason we keep a close eye on that is because that ultimately could present opportunity. I mean, it was opportunity in 2022 and in 2023, and so it's not the worst thing in the world. What we're seeing right now is what's about to be an open Fed chair, and we're seeing people vying for that position by being pro rate cut. And so that's going to be interesting to watch that unfold. And that'll give us a really good idea as we will be entering or into the second quarter of next year to see what that landscape looks like. But I agree that they've got a kind of a tricky path, but either way, it's going to be opportunity. And the good thing about these rate cuts is we get a pretty consistent reading ahead of time as to what they're going to do. So, like you mentioned, we're already looking at 80% in December, right? I mean, that's 3 months away. So we get a pretty good forecast as to what they're thinking about doing, which allows us to prepare portfolios accordingly, really.
Absolutely. And we're not just looking at December. We're all the way out to March and April, when the last two meetings that Powell's going to have, and trying to see where the gauge is there, where we think inflation is going to end up around that time frame versus where the interest rates are. And that'll really tell us what sectors we want to be in, whether it's interest rate sensitive or not, and where we want to go moving forward, if it's time to look for more stability in the market or anything like that. So we are, 6 to 8 months forward looking as much as we can as well. And when we make those decisions, we're able to take into account everything that we want to be able to pivot in our portfolios.
Absolutely. We have a lot of great tools at our disposal, and not just that, but looking at seasonality, statistics, obviously, which I've been big on lately, and of course the technicals, and then this being the fundamentals or macros. And so, yeah, I'll be curious to see in January. Usually around December, January is when you get a pretty good feel as to what which two of those four are going to drive the market. And so that'll be an interesting podcast to do because it's pretty consistent that you can identify those two that usually stay intact for the balance of the year. And so that'll be fun to identify those and gives us something to really focus in on. What else you got, Carl? That was the main things I wanted to talk about were market reactions and obviously yesterday's Fed meet. Anything else we need to cover?
Nope, that's everything I have for today. But if you think anybody would like to hear our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Yes, thank you for that. And one quick little note that I forgot to mention. We do have, because of this rate landscape, we do, for the moment, still have pretty attractive fixed rate products. So if that's something that anybody's interested in, now would be the time, especially between now and the October meet, because you will start to see those carriers. Well, we already have started to see those carriers start to reduce their rates. So just wanted to throw that out there because now would be the kind of the right window to jump on that if that is something that you are interested in. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.